the Public News Service DOA Newscast, June the 16th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. First to Maine, where lawmakers are considering legislation to improve the wages and working conditions of thousands of farm workers.
Current law requires farm workers be paid at least the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, but they are not eligible to be paid overtime. Andy O'Brien of the Maine AFL-CIO says the bill would ensure that farm workers are considered state employees, making them eligible for the state's minimum wage of $13.80.
Farm workers work extremely hard. I used the blueberry rake, and it's backbreaking labor, and there's no reason why they don't deserve the same rights as other workers.
The Labor and Housing Committee has advanced the bill, but some farmers have said increased wages and overtime protections could force them to cut workers' hours. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Only 14 states currently allow farm workers to unionize. Tribal advocates are cheering a U.S. Supreme Court decision that allows a landmark law to stand that deals with child welfare cases. It follows a tense period of worry and planning in states like North Dakota.
In a 7-2 ruling, the court upheld the Indian Child Welfare Act, which was adopted in 1978 to address the widespread issue of Native children being placed in non-Native homes for foster care or adoption. The law emphasizes keeping these children within their tribal communities to maintain their cultural well-being. State Representative Jamie Davis led the recent push for North Dakota to adopt its own protections in case the federal law was overturned.
It's just really great to see, you know, something so positive come out of the Supreme Court regarding our Indian children. It's the Indian Child Welfare Act, but the big underlying issue on this was our sovereignty as well.
This past session, the North Dakota legislature joined several other states in adopting versions that kept the essence of the federal act in place. The group North Dakota Native Vote issued a statement calling the outcome a win for the future of tribal nations. Plaintiffs in the case argued the law was unconstitutional because they felt it was discriminatory toward non-natives. As for tribal sovereignty, Aaron Doherty Lynch of the Native American Rights Fund says the ruling is pretty clear in affirming precedents dealing with longstanding federal Indian laws. I'm Mike Moen.
Now from CNN, at least 15 people dead after a truck collided with a bus carrying senior citizens in a rural portion of Canada's Manitoba province. CNN reports the semi-trailer was headed east on Highway 1, while the bus carrying the seniors was headed south on Highway 5, that near Carberry, Manitoba, when the collision occurred. The bus was struck by the semi-trailer as it crossed the eastbound lanes. This is Public News Service. Now to Georgia, where nearly 370,000 acres of salt marshes are in danger, that due to rising sea levels and levels of development that conservation groups say are unsustainable. Our Shantia Hudson reports an effort is underway across the southeast to try to save them.
The South Atlantic Salt Marsh Initiative has released a new plan to preserve 1 million acres of salt marsh from North Carolina to East Central Florida, an area nearly the size of the Grand Canyon. Courtney Reich with the Georgia Conservancy says this initiative will be key in fighting climate change, along with maintaining historical sites and the economy.
It also is one of the most important landscapes for sequestering carbon, and that's obviously very important for mitigating climate change in the future. It's an important place for those of us that live in and around or visit the marsh.
Research indicates that the marshes provide an estimated protective value of over $7,000 per acre annually from storm surge and flooding alone. Shantia Hudson reporting.
According to the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, 14-34% of existing salt marshes along the South Atlantic could be lost by 2060. Meantime, our Eric Tigetoff lets us know the management plan for a coastal Oregon estuary is getting its first update in four decades.
The public can comment on the draft of the Yaquina Bay Estuary Management Plan released this week. Lisa Phipps is the Oregon Coastal Program Manager with the Ocean Coastal Services Division. She says the bay is a natural extension of the community.
It's just a really special place, and it brings a lot to the community from an economic perspective, from a recreational perspective, from an aesthetic perspective.
The plan was developed with an array of partners, including Lincoln County, the nearby cities of Newport and Toledo, and the Confederated Tribes of the Siletz Indians.
Finally, Alex Gonzalez reports this is Community Health Improvement Week. One Utah family care physician wants people to use that time to think about the effects that stress may be having on their mental and their physical health.
Medical Director for Optum in Utah, Dr. Christopher Valentine, says stress in the short term is an important response, a signal to the body that something isn't right. But chronic stress over time can affect the heart and manifest itself in other ways, from back pain and digestive issues to fatigue, depression, and trouble sleeping. He says the first step is recognizing the source of the stress.
The American Heart Association has laid out three simple tips to manage stress. They're online at heart.org. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.